Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for finding us on your favorite podcast app. We're on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and more. Also on Dash Radio every single night, 7 p.m. That's on their Nothing But Net channel. The Five Reasons YouTube channel, where you want to go for a lot of additional Heat, Dolphins, and other South Florida sports content. Royal Shepherd hosting Post Up 5R with some of the people that you've gotten to know throughout the network. And also, check out fivereasonsports.com. Brady Hawk already has his latest takeaways up. That's F-I-V-E, reasonsports.com. We've got a new sponsor, by the way. This is a really good one. CPT of South Florida, which has provided small and medium businesses with the technology they need for decades. They specialize in cloud hosting, phone systems, and manage IT. If you own a small or medium business, you're looking to save money on your monthly phone and internet costs, you got to give TJ a call right now. He's been helping South Florida business save thousands per month. He can do the same for you. I know a lot of our listeners are small business owners, so this is where you want to go. We try to find the sponsors that can help you out. With a cloud phone system, you can work from anywhere on any device. For a free in-person consultation, call TJ at 954-966-2766. That's 954-966-2766. And if you call now, there's a promotion that includes 25% off all cloud phone service, including free phones and the first 2 months of service free. Just mention Five Reasons. Deal with an owner, not a sales rep. Give TJ at CPT a call, 954-966-2766, or the website cpt-florida.com. And now, tonight's episode.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
On the floor.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily show on the Miami Heat and the NBA featuring Ethan Skolnick with Alex Toledo and Greg Sylvander, part of the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, Ethan Skolnick back on Five on the Floor. Here's the floor plan. We've got the full crew tonight. Greg Sylvander, you can follow him at Greg Sylvander. We've got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. The Miami Heat win again in Boston tonight. They sweep this little mini series. They do it 129-121. The final score ended up kind of close to the first one, which was 130-124, but a totally different game. Slow start for the Heat in this one. They lose Jimmy Butler for the second half. No Jaylen Brown again for Boston, but the Heat led tonight by their bench. We've seen this a couple of times lately. 60 combined minutes for Dragic and Hero, 41 combined points, 9 combined three-pointers, 16 of 26 overall from the field. And Bam Adebayo, aggressive, particularly after Jimmy went out, 22-7-5, his stat line, 18 from Nunn, 22 from Robinson. Jimmy left after the first half. He got poked in the eye and had trouble seeing. He had 13-2-3. But guys, we've talked kind of all year about when was the supporting cast going to step up and help Jimmy Butler. Today they helped themselves, and they did it in the second half, where they basically blew Boston off the floor, overcame the 33 from Tatum and 36 from Walker. Greg, I know you kind of just want to scream at this point at a whole bunch of people, including myself, who had them in the play-in, but what impressed you the most about tonight?
No, I'm not going to do any told you so stuff, because this team had, you know, prior to this two-game stretch, like, I think we should start by acknowledging that this two-game these two victories probably are the point in the season where, as a collective, Heat Nation feels most confident. It's coming at the right time. And I just feel like for them to come out in that second half of a really, like, the first half of that game was fun and it was back and forth and it was competitive. I don't know how many times the lead changed, but it was back and forth. For Jimmy not to come out and they still show up the way that they did. And in the first half, I mean, Tyler, Bam, and Jimmy, and this was in Brady Hawk's piece that just went up on fivereasonsports.com. They combined for 43 points in the first half. So, like, they showed up in a huge game. And there is an element of this that I think is make or miss. And the Heat are beginning to make shots at a clip that is huge. Dwayne Dedman was big. So it's just a huge momentum shift for them. They know they're going to get that week off. And let's hope the Knicks lose in LA as we podcast right now.
Yeah. Now, we talk about make or miss, Alex, and that's been the case all year. I mean, this has been a bottom third team in terms of their shooting. And all of a sudden, Tyler Hero and Goran Dragic are making shots they don't even really intend to make. I mean, there was one today with Dragic that he chucked up that swirled around and went down. I feel like it's kind of tough to say. I mean, is this confidence for both of them, or is this both of them have just basically gotten healthy?
I think it's a little bit of everything. It's confidence, it's health, it's rhythm. Like, I just think, you know, we've talked about it over the past couple of weeks, and that bench unit is kind of rounding into form. And I feel like I'm constantly, I don't know, I'm this is what's always standing out to me now with these games, is because, like, I feel like this two-game series was the culmination of kind of the upward swing they've been on in regards to the offense, you know, a solid bench unit. And I think these two games have kind of solidified that, where it's like, okay, I know that bench unit, you know, when Bam sits, Dedmon is going to come in and bring a real impact to the game. He's making it easier on the guards to score. And I just think Tyler and Goran have really come around. Like, we saw Kendrick come around a little bit earlier, and now you have all of these guys that we've had questions about throughout the season coming around at the same time. Like, they're not relying as much on Goran to create stuff, and both of them are in their rhythm. Goran and Tyler, and you talk about Kendrick, like, they're all playing well together too, which is a new thing. So all of this stuff happening now towards the end of the season, this feels like a Heat season now, right? A team that's defense first, kind of struggles on offense sometimes, but you feel good because of the people, you know, at the top of the roster and the top of the organization, that by March and April, things are going to turn around and they're going to be headed in the right direction towards the playoffs. And that's exactly where they are. Like, I feel pretty damn good about this team, even without Victor Oladipo kind of rounding into form and looking like a team that could actually score when they want to again. They're not lugging through possessions as much as they were before, and shots are going down, but I really do think it's more than that. I think they found more ways to get guys going and on the move, specifically with those guards that we're talking about, and just getting them in rhythm, right, where it's not all about just hitting open shots. And I just love what we're seeing. I feel like everybody is rounding into form at the same time, more or less.
Well, I, you know, a lot of it is that they're finding shots for these guys. I think part of what's happened here though too is guys like Dedmon and Ariza have plugged holes that this team has had the
whole big time,
which I think frees up some of the other guys to just play their game. I think part of what was happening early in the season was, you know, you had no four to play next to Bam. You had no big to play behind Bam. And so as a result, you're asking certain guys on this team to do things that are kind of out of character for them. Now it's a little more settled into their roles. You know, it's, you know, if Tyler rebounds, he rebounds, but it's not on him to rebound. Okay. They have a legitimate backup center to clean up the backboards now, you know? So, and I was saying today, like, I can't remember Dwayne Dedmon doing anything wrong since he's come. Like, I'm trying to remember one play where he's been out of position or didn't box out or didn't set a screen. I mean, it doesn't happen. And so I just think that those two acquisitions have settled them. We saw in the first half today, although he couldn't play the second half, that Jimmy set the tone again. He wasn't losing this game. I think that was pretty clear. Also got to say, the confidence on his three ball is starting to come back, which is interesting. You know, I know people always tell him he's got to shoot it as if somebody's in front of him. He's getting more arc on it.
Him and Bam got the jumper going at the same time, huh?
Well, Bam also was looking for the jumper, and that's the other thing. And he was also looking to attack. So, you know, look, obviously a huge win for the Heat. I didn't give it quite the significance that maybe some others did. We talked in the pregame show about it. Ira said to me he thought it was the biggest regular season game in Heat history.
I
felt that was a little strong, and I told him that at the time.
That's a hot take, man.
Well, I mean, but if anybody's entitled to make the take, it's somebody who's covered them since their very first season. And so I started to think about it, and I'm like, I mean, I know there have been more important regular season games, and it didn't have that importance. It feel that way in part because Jalen was out. But the one thing I do want to say is, if you look at the Heat and the Celtics this year, for all the issues that the Heat have had and that the Celtics have had, the Heat are going to finish ahead of the Celtics. And part of it is, they did a better job of fortifying the others than the Celtics did this year. Okay. I think that if you look at how many assets Danny Ainge had and what they had to throw out on the floor tonight, it's not good enough. And the Heat, it took them a while to get there. Harkless, Leonard, some of the things from earlier the season, but they got there with a representative nine, even though they don't have Kelly Olynyk because they traded him for a guy who's hardly played since he's been here. I do think this does speak to the fact that ultimately I'll still take the Heat organization over the Celtics organization, Greg.
Yeah, no, that's just, I think it shows 2 years in a row where there was stretches where the Heat kind of bolstered the roster on the fly. Like they did it last year with the Jay Crowder and Iggy move. And then this year with the Ariza and Deadman stuff. So it's just a situation where it's not necessarily that they're winning every summer when it comes to Boston. Although, you know, when you think about getting Jimmy with no cap space, that will go down as an all-timer. You know, they just squandered assets and they did look thin in this game going down the stretch. I mean, I know they don't have Jaylen Brown and he's a great player, but for all of these draft picks and players that they've accumulated and held on to and not made deals for, it's just interesting to see Kemba Walker shooting them out of existence, you know, late in this game.
All right. We will get into kind of where the Heat go now. And also I want to get into the significance of making the playoffs again. I know that was not the end game this year, but I mean, if you look at it in context to some other organizations, it is pretty significant. Before we do though, I want to tell you about another great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network, our friends over at Miami Grill. Whether you want the wings, you want the gyros, you want the burgers, whatever it is you want, you can get it here in South Florida. They're Miami, just like us. Again, they've been a sponsor for us now for a little bit. And so I've been eating there more and I've been enjoying it. They've got a couple right here in Fort Lauderdale. I know a lot of you guys live in Broward and they're right here off of Oakland Park, off of Commercial. They're all over South Florida though. And you can get it on the MyMiamiGrill.com site or on the app. They got order in, they've got delivery. They do the drive through, whatever it is that you want to do, you can do it at Miami Grill. So make sure you check it out. They got the three new sauces as well for the wings. I think I'll pick some of those up tomorrow. If you're craving it in Miami Grill, they're making it. All right, let's get to the significance of the accomplishment first. And I don't want this to get lost. I feel like we did this last year too. Just when they made the playoffs, we just wanted to kind of commemorate it. And Pat Riley has been here since 1995. Kevin Lockery was the coach prior, the season prior, if you remember, 32-50. Glenn Rice is their best player. Alvin Gentry took over for Lockery during that season. Of course, then you had the fax situation with the Knicks. You had Dave Checkets wanting to kind of keep Pat Riley from more power with the Knicks. Pat didn't like that anymore. Pat came down here to South Florida. We're now talking about 26 years ago. The Miami Heat have missed the playoffs 6 times. I think the Knicks have missed it 14 times in the past 17, I believe. I'll have to double check that. But basically, the only years that the Heat have missed the playoffs since Pat came in were 2001, 2002. And of course, that was kind of the year after the Zoe situation. They brought in a bunch of old vets, the Sabaloses, Cedric Sabalos.
Rod Strickland.
Right. Ken, who actually had a good year. Jimmy Jackson, Kendall Gill, Travis Best, etc. They went 36-46. The next year, 2002, 2003, that was a rebuild year. They draft Caron Butler. They lose 57 games. They miss the playoffs. Okay, then they make the playoffs through, obviously, the Shaq championship run. Then 2007, 2008, they miss it after pretty much everybody gets hurt in the first half of the season, and some guys like Wade and Haslam shut it down. Of course, Shaq was traded. 2014-15, year after LeBron, so again, crazy circumstances. 16-17, they go 30-11 in the second half of the year, and they miss by one game. 39-43, also barely missed. That was in 2018-2019, Dwayne's last season, that obviously the last dance season. And that's it. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 since 1995. I think if we went through it, Greg, the only franchise that would compare is San Antonio, correct?
Yeah, I think so in that time span. And when you think about from a team that was a, you know, expansion franchise in that grouping of Minnesota, Charlotte, Orlando, Miami, for them to do what they've done. And when you just rattled off the times that they missed the playoffs, like to me, the Alonzo Mourning injury, like absolves them from that playoff drought. And then, you know, the Chris Bosh stuff always will linger for that particular period. And, you know, then obviously there was, you know, other than that, there's not really very much to look at and say, gosh, they've really spent some down years. And so it's good to see them back where they belong. And here's the weirdest part about all this in this weird season. Right now, they are the sixth seed behind Atlanta at 5 and New York at 4, yet they've clinched their playoff spot and right. The 4 and the 5 seeds have yet to clinch. So how that happens, I don't understand.
Alex, let's again, for some context here, you're a little younger than Greg and I. You've only known them to be good.
It's an understatement.
Well, yeah, but you're a lot older than Brady, Grandpa. I mean, you've only known them to be good, right? Like pretty much. I mean, Greg and I go back a little further. I go back further than Greg, where I remember when the franchise was struggling to get traction. But like in a town where the Dolphins, you know, are finally righting themselves after 2 decades, it just I don't want to take this for granted tonight. I know, again, it's not the end game, but the reality is Sacramento's missed it. How many? I mean, Minnesota's missed 16 out of 17 years, right? I mean, the Knicks are throwing a parade for making it or almost making it. It is significant.
It is significant, and you're right that I pretty much only have known them since they've been good. You know, I was born in 96. I think Tim Hardaway was traded to the Heat on the day I was born, if I have that correct.
Wow.
So I've literally only known them, like, since that iteration, and I wasn't a real fan watching, you know, games regularly until I was about 8 years old, around 2004, 2005. And so as a result, like, everything you're saying is right. I've only known this team to be competent. I've only known the Dolphins to be, you know, a team that's constantly teetering back and forth. You know, only a couple good seasons since I've been alive, a couple decent seasons. And I think what you're saying is true. Like, tonight is not nothing. This season has felt in flux all year. It feels good to clinch the playoff spot and just stay away from the play-in. It feels great because it really felt, especially when we recorded that episode, Ethan, with Marco a week ago, that we're kind of heading in that direction just because they kept blowing games. And now, like, there's some tough games at the end of the schedule here. I said earlier on the Alex Donald show, he asked me if I thought they were going to win again at Boston. And I said, no, I didn't have the guts. I just felt like, you know, this season has been a team that they dropped this game, right? The inconsistency comes up again. And then you talk about losing Jimmy in the second half and for the whole second half, pretty much. And closing them out after it was a tough game in the first half. I thought tonight was an incredibly impressive win, and it wasn't just about shots falling in. They were just a more poised team, the more competent team. And so I'm proud of them tonight, man. They're tied with the Hawks, who have the tiebreaker. They're only a half game behind the Knicks, who are playing the Lakers right now. I know last time it was a similar situation. We were waiting on the Clippers to beat the Knicks. Now we got to hope the Lakers, well, LeBron can do it. But I'm proud of them because they kept themselves out of there, and now they're back in position, even though there's a couple of tough games left, to try to go not only for the fifth seed, but for the fourth seed.
Yeah, we're going to get into all of that tomorrow. I think we should wait on it and put it into a little bit of perspective as we go forward, because we don't know what – I mean, I assume Jimmy's going to be okay for the next couple of games, but who do you sit? Who do you not sit? You've got, like you mentioned, Philadelphia, which seems to have locked in the one. So, I mean, really no reason for them to push it. But for Milwaukee – there may be. I do think the significance of tonight was a lot of the questions that we had about this team, which were legitimate questions, they answered them when it mattered most. Now, can it be sustained? We'll see. But I do think that this is a team that feels pretty good. And the crazy thing is 38 and 31 on the season is not really a horrible record. And when you think about how many games they dropped that they had no business dropping, I mean, this team should have in the mid 40s in wins right now, right? Like, I mean, it's kind of crazy, Greg, how that played out. I mean,
it just circles. Like, I can't forget when someone in the organization said to you, look at the Bam, Jimmy, and Goran minutes. Mm-hmm. And when you think about from that moment prior, like the fact that we had none, essentially, what was it? Like a stupid, it was a dumb number, like 7 minutes or whatever.
75 minutes or something along those lines. Yeah,
exactly. So I'm being dramatic with the 7 minutes, but like to that point, like to think what was dropped because of that, and they've kind of rebounded and turned this season and salvaged it to the degree that they may even get to home court in the first round. And have a better seed than they did last year when they made the run that they did, and they're shooting in a similar trajectory. Duncan is on fire. It's good to see, but the work is not done. There's no doubt.
No, but I do think that for a couple of guys, well, three players in particular, four players in particular that we've had serious questions about the entire season. They've shown up when it's mattered, and it's going to make some of these off-season decisions in some ways easier and in some ways harder, but they've gotten what they've needed to get of late from Nunn, Robinson, Hero, and Dragic. And those four guys, you know, we've talked about replacing all of them in different ways this year and why you couldn't use them in certain situations. They all played well enough, and they gave you enough offensively to overcome whatever issues there were defensively. We haven't talked about it a lot, but Duncan Robinson's floor game today was excellent. I mean, he was getting the basket. He was driving. He was more than just a shooter. I mean, I feel like that's where it's headed here, but that he was tremendous today. So no question about it. The Oladipo questions are starting to fade here a little bit. As I've said many times, don't expect to see him. Be surprised if you do. All right, that's it for tonight. We want to make sure we get this one up so everybody can hear it. Check out our sponsors again, our new one, cpt-florida.com. If you need any kind of IT help with your small business, reach out to them or reach out to me, and I'll connect you to them and also Miami Grill. And I always mention at the end, prizepicks.com. Use that code 5. We're entering the playoffs. You're going to want to be playing there.
Paul Pierce said that he wouldn't make the playoffs today.
Paul Pierce sucks.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Regional Sports Network.